Welcome to Mountain View Church Audio. Striving to introduce people to Jesus through scripture, biblical instruction, and prayer with authenticity and vibrancy. You don't need to know anything about the Bible. Just sit back, relax, and let God do the rest. Please consider subscribing to this podcast and leave a rating and review. And please consider supporting this ministry through a tax-deductible donation at mountainview.church/give. That's mountainview.church/give. Now here's this week's message.
Welcome to Mountain View. My name's Aaron, and I'm a pastoral apprentice. We're working our way through Advent towards Christmas. Last weekend, Jeremy spoke about love. Next week is joy, but this week, I'm here to talk about hope. This is a message of hope, but it may not seem like it at first. See, the presence of hope, by its very nature, indicates that the current situation is lacking, or something is missing, and so we desire something more. We look with expectation and long for something better. The thing is, we don't seem to be able to see what that something better is. We have this void in our souls, a kind of emptiness. We know that it needs to be filled in order for us to be complete, but we can't seem to find out what's missing. That all sounds very sad, but remember, this is a message of hope. Now, all humanity is in the dark. And it has been for as long as anyone can remember. It's a darkness caused by sin, and it not only separates us from God, but it blinds us, leaves us guessing. We all know something's not right. We all know somehow that we are incomplete, but because of this darkness, we can't find the solution that we need. Furthermore, we're blinded to the fact that we ourselves cannot even solve the problem. We may spend our whole lives trying to be complete. At least some do. We try one thing and find it doesn't bring fulfillment, so we try another and another and another. And answers may seem so close, but always just remain out of reach, out of sight. Sadly, a lot of us eventually give up and give in to indifference and apathy. The attitude that, well, this must be as good as it gets, is very common. And then it just becomes about distracting ourselves and getting through life without too much discomfort. Many of us give up the hope of trying to find what will complete us and just become numb and isolated. Many of us simply accept that we will always be in the dark. We don't even consider looking beyond ourselves. We don't consider that maybe God has the answer. We just need to look to Him. But in the darkness, we've lost sight of God. It wasn't always this way. There was a time in the beginning when all creation was healthy and rejoiced in its vibrancy. There was a time when all created things on earth were in harmony with each other and with the benevolent Creator who was responsible for all of it. There was a time when man and beast, earth and sky, sea and stars, flourished together in one common equilibrium, with one common purpose, to glorify God and celebrate His sovereignty. A long time ago, there was a man named Job who knew this, and he spoke of God in Job 12:10, saying, "In His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." See, all things on earth were united in common purpose, under the sovereign who spoke them into existence. There was peace and order, love and goodness, yet sin found purchase in the heart of humanity, and everything changed. Darkness spread to all the world, and our harmony with God was dashed, and a great divide took its place. Men would now seek to live without God, even regard themselves as gods, and the truth and our beautiful beginning would become nothing more than myth and legend to many. We got lost in the darkness. And most of us, most of the year, we stay there. However, every year, there's one month in particular where things seem to brighten. People start to smile, give, care and love a bit more. People notice others in need a bit more. For about a month, it's almost like people are reaching for the way things were before sin and darkness. For about a month in December, there's hope. Now, even in our commercial Western context where corporations flood us with promises, try and convince us that happiness and fulfillment can be found by giving and receiving material things, there's something bigger going on. If you can look through the distractions, peer through the fog, and ignore the noise, you might notice that something else is being celebrated this month. Amidst the craziness of the season, there's a group of people that are looking beyond the gifts and the family and the parties to someone named Jesus. These people seem to be holding on to a notion that even after December ends, things will remain bright. Because of this Jesus, hope remains. Now, to this group, in fact, it is no notion at all, but reality, brought about in the once broken hearts by the only one that has power stronger than the darkness, the only one who conquers sin, the only true ruler above all things in heaven and earth, the one who fills the emptiness and completes the incomplete. See, the darkness fears but one thing, for one thing defeats it. There's only one presence that sends the darkness shrinking away, beaten and powerless. Light. Jesus is the light of the world. He not only prevails against the darkness, but he brings a gift of hope to all who turn to him. He brings them so much more than they ever knew possible. Because of him, where there was enmity, there's peace. Where there was hate, there's love. Where there was sadness, there's joy. And where there was despair, there's hope. God doesn't want to leave us in the dark, so he came to us as the light.
Today, we focus on the advent of hope. The scripture we'll be reading today is Isaiah 9, 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Now, you may have listened to that, and you heard about this light, you heard about this Jesus, and this faith and belief and hope that people have in him. And you're probably asking a couple of questions. Hey, this sounds great, but who is this Jesus? Like, why is he the light? What is so great about him? And the second question would be, how does that help me? I'm glad you asked. So in order to understand who Jesus is, I mean, there is so much, and frankly, the whole Bible is about him. The Old Testament points to him coming. The Gospels are his time on earth, and the rest of the New Testament is pointing to what he's done. But in order for us to understand a little bit about who he is and why he brings hope, we need to go back in time. So we're going to go back just over 2,000 years. We're going to go back to an area of the world that we now know as Israel, but at this time it was called the province of Judea. See, Israel was once God's people. God established the kingdom of Israel from nothing, and he walked with this land of people. He walked with this race of people. He walked with this kingdom. They were his, and they trusted him, and they loved him, and they followed him. And he looked after them. He protected them. He took care of them. It was a great relationship. But this kingdom was made up of people. And we know that people have a hard time sticking to something. People get distracted. People want more. People aren't easily satisfied. And so Israel turned from God. Slowly but surely, they started looking to the lands around them and started looking at the false gods that were being worshipped around them, and they lost sight of the true God. And over time, they were all but destroyed. The Israel that once was ceased to exist. The people that made up the kingdom of Judah, the southern part of what was Israel, even went into exile, were taken by another country, Babylon. And over the years, Israel was basically subservient to empire after empire after empire. But there was always this scripture from before. There was always this memory or this remnant of the relationship they had with God, of the time where they knew the true God was with them. And there was prophecies. There was prophecies that would point forward to this being restored somehow. And a few people hung on to this. One of the prophecies in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." This is the prophecy that people hung on to. It was telling them that though they were in the dark, light was coming, or there was the hope of restoration. There was the hope of light. But at this time, going back just over 2,000 years, God has been all but silent for over 400 years. The people of Israel, God's people, were under kingdom after kingdom. Babylon, the Medes and Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. And at this time, Rome ruled everything. Rome ruled everything around the Mediterranean, including the province, it was now a Roman province, of Judea, which was once known as Israel, and what we know as Israel. Rome was in charge. Caesar was in charge, and Caesar put himself out there as a god. And the people in Israel, the people of Israel, they didn't even have a real king at this point. They had a puppet king. They had a king that Rome appointed, that was allowed to take a position of power within the kingdom, but he answered to Rome. Israel was leaderless. Israel was hopeless. Israel was in the dark. And you can imagine having that long of a time between hearing from God and just nothing, and your nation being all but destroyed and crushed, and just there's nothing to hang on to. But some people still believed. And then something amazing happened. In a little town called Nazareth, a town where nobody expected much from, there was a young woman named Mary. And a miracle happened. An angel, out of nowhere, an angel appeared to Mary and gave her hope. We'll read about that in the book of Luke. So if we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And this virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Imagine being Mary in this moment. You're no one special. You're in a country ruled by someone else. You have nothing really to hold on to except prophecies from old times. All of a sudden, an angel shows up out of nowhere and says, "You, Mary, you were going to be used by God. God chose you. You found favor with him. And you are going to bear the future king." Jesus was going to be given the throne of David. Remember, David was a king in Israel a long time ago. He's a good king, a man after God's own heart. And things kind of went downhill after David. But the throne of David would be the throne of Israel. So Mary would hear this, and she would know that Israel's going to have a king again. Israel has hope again. And the name Jesus, the name instructed by the angel to Mary to name this little boy, literally means the Lord saves, or the Lord of salvation. This Jesus was the hope that they had been looking for, waiting for, stumbling around in the dark, trying to find. All of a sudden, it was real. And naturally, they would have thought, being oppressed by Rome, by an earthly empire, the people at the time would have expected a king to be some warrior, to be a great warrior king that would destroy the shackles that were held upon them, that would get rid of Rome, that would kick them out of the land, and Israel would become great again. But Jesus was here for more than that. Jesus came for so much more than just restoration of a nation. He was here to redeem mankind and to defeat the darkness. He was here to fix the problem of sin. Jesus was here to bring hope to everyone. John 8:12 says, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Notice he says the world. Jesus is not just here for Israel. Jesus is here for everyone. Jesus is bringing hope to the whole world, a world stuck in darkness because of sin. He was hope for all who longed for deliverance from sin, from death, from darkness. He's what people had been waiting for. That's a little bit about who Jesus is, and this is where you come in. Remember, your second question was, what does this do for me? How does this help me? Let's talk about where we put our hope for a minute. Now, I was in the store the other day, just the grocery store, nothing special. I was just getting a coffee or something. And I ran into three different people. And had the typical, these are people I haven't seen in a while, had the typical conversation, you know, like, "Hey, how's it going? What's new? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? What's going on? What is going on for you?" And they weren't profound conversations, but I realized after that there was something that tied them all together. So the first person I ran into, they talked about their job. They talked about their career. They talked about hoping to go from job to career. They'd kind of bounce between jobs, and they wanted more. They wanted a solid career that they could kind of base their life on. And it was like they were putting their hope in that. It was like, once I get that career, that will fulfill me. Then I'll have it figured out. Then this emptiness inside will be filled and everything will be better. The second person I ran into was talking about family. Had a couple of kids. He was working really hard. He looked tired. He looked like he was working so hard to give his family what they needed. And that in doing that, in taking care of his family, which, by the way, is a very good thing. And don't get me wrong, taking care of your family is what we should be doing. But he was putting his hope in that. It was almost like, okay, if I can just work really hard, if I can just sacrifice enough, that my family will be good to go, then I'll be fulfilled and everything will be okay. And this hole inside me will be filled. And the third person I ran into, she had a few relationships that hadn't gone exactly the way she had hoped. And so she was looking to herself. And her mindset, the very determined, very strong person, was, I got to get myself to where I want to be. I need to depend on myself to fulfill my life. I'm putting my hope in myself. All of these people had good ideas, right? Getting a good career is a good thing. Having a family, great thing. Trusting that you need to do the work to pull yourself up, that's a good thing. But they're all seeking fulfillment in things of the earth. They're all seeking fulfillment in things of the world. They're all seeking fulfillment in things that can let them down. Career can be taken at any time. Family might not turn out the way that you want. And yourself, you will eventually disappoint yourself if that's where all your hope is. You will falter. You'll fail from time to time. It's just humans. It's how we are. But if all of your hope is put in these things, you're bound to be disappointed at some point. But what if we looked beyond that? What if we looked beyond the created thing and put our hope in the Creator? What if we put our hope where it should be, in God? See, Christmas is a great time of year, but it has become so much about lights and things and music and being around family and gifts and, again, a lot of good things. But what Christmas is really about, what Christmas should always be remembered to be about, is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Christmas is about the gospel. Christmas is about hope fulfilled. You might say, well, what do you mean it's about the gospel? Well, track with me. So man, we know already, is in darkness. The world has fallen. Creation is suffering. Everything is tainted by sin. Man is separated from God by sin. We can't approach a holy God bearing the sin that we bring upon ourselves. But God wants us back. God doesn't leave us alone to our own fate. God wants a restored relationship with man. And so what does he do? But he comes to us. He comes to us in the form of the little baby Jesus, born of a virgin. But the life he would live would be perfect. He would live the life that we can't. He would live a life free of sin. Now, sin bears with it a cost. The wages of sin is death. Death wasn't even a part of the picture until sin came along, until we embraced sin and rebelled against God. Jesus lived a life free of sin. Jesus was the only one that didn't deserve a punishment for sin. But being free of sin, he didn't bear any. What that means is he could take ours. He took all of our sin on himself, and he paid for that. He didn't have his own sin to pay for. He was clean. So he paid for ours. See, Jesus was born to Mary those years before. 9 months after we saw the angel come to Mary, he was born in Bethlehem. And he was born for the purpose of bearing our sin, of dying a death that we should have died, so that we might be free, so that we would be free of sin, free of the punishment of sin. It was taken care of on the cross. It was paid for, and we were pardoned. The just wrath of God was placed on him. God took that on himself for us, his created creature, that had rebelled against him and separated ourselves from God by our sin. He came and took care of all of it. He laid himself down as a bridge over the divide that separates us so we could be back together with God. That's what Jesus was here for. That's why he is the light of the world, because he brought light into the darkness that we could never create. We could never create the kind of light that he brought. We could never make our way across that great divide back to God. So he did it for us. And it doesn't end there. He didn't stay dead. He died, but 3 days later he rose. On the third day, he rose from the grave. He has defeated our sin. He has defeated death. And now we're no longer bound by either. Those of us who would believe in him, who would accept what he did, who would admit we are sinners who cannot get there by ourselves. We don't rate, but you do. Save me, Lord. I need you. Those of us who would repent of our sin would be covered by his righteousness. He bore our sin and gave us his cleanliness, his righteousness. His perfection covers us so that we might be reunited with the God who made us. He ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us. We are family now. We are adopted children of God. We have hope. When you have Jesus, no matter how dark it is out there, it's always light in here. As we celebrate Advent and look towards Christmas, let us not forget where our hope should lie. Hope is eternally fulfilled through Jesus and the salvation and the restoration that can only come through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's our Savior. Now, Christmas, there's a lot of lights at Christmas. You go around town and there's lights on the trees in the park. There's lights on all the businesses. There's lights in the buildings. There's lights in the stores. There's lights in your living room. But after December, all the lights go out but one. The light of the world will always stay lit. Most people will go back to being in the dark. Those who have the light of the world will never be in the dark again. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you would send your Son to bear our burden, to take our sins upon himself so that we might be made clean. Lord, as we're surrounded by Christmas and things seem to be brighter and people seem to be cheerier and there's lots of good stuff happening, but let us remember what the focus should be. This is the time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. This is the time when we celebrate the real hope that we can all have. And let us not only remember that, but let us be willing to share that, Lord. Please give us courage. Give us hearts that want to share the gospel, that want to share the reason that we have for hope with those who don't. Because, Lord, the world's a dark place. We all know that. We maybe are a bit used to it, but we shouldn't be. And after December, it just gets dark again. Lord, please shine your light so brightly through your children, through the churches, through creation, that people who are stuck in the dark, people who are just focused on being numb, see something better. Give people hope, Lord. You're the only one who can. Thank you for giving me that hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we do here at Mountain View, we have a couple discussion questions for you. We don't want you to just hear the message and then life gets crazy and you kind of forget about it. So I have a couple questions that I think would be really beneficial for you to think about, but then discuss with somebody. So first question, where did you place your hope in the past? We talked about people put it in career, people put it in family, people put it in the universe, people put it in themselves. People tend to hope in the created things. Where did you put your hope? And the second question is, this Christmas, how can you best share with others the hope that can be found in Jesus? How can you share with others that there is hope not in the created thing, but in the Creator? Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Mountain View Church Audio. If you've given your life to Jesus today, or would like to join, serve, or support Mountain View Church, please let us know at mountainview.church/connect. That's mountainview.church/connect. Have a blessed week.